So today is August 28th, and we're learning Masechet Rosh Hashanah for a one-night stand. Next week we're going to be learning Masechet Yoma, I believe. Paul, good evening.
Okay, good evening.
So the Mishnah I chose is near the end of Masechet Rosh Hashanah. It's chapter 4, Perek Dalid, Mishnah Hey, the fifth Mishnah. So everyone again needs a copy of the Mishnah, needs a Sidur, needs a Machzor, needs a Chumash, and needs the instruction sheet. So now we'll see if everyone has everything. Okay, I'm going to begin reading the Mishnah. Perek Dalid, Mishnah Hey. Okay, everyone has the place more or less?
Rosh Hashanah should be the last, right?
I don't know what's in that volume of Art Scroll.
You're talking about right from here.
Well, that's not Art Scroll, that's the Blackman.
Yeah.
It's right before Masechet Megillah.
That's
what Tanit, but then Megillah. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Seder Brachot, Omer Avot Ugvorot Ukdushat Hashem, V'kolel Malchiyot Imahen, Veino Tokea. Kedushat Hayom V'tokea, Zichronot V'tokea, Shofarot V'tokea. V'omer Avuda V'hoda'a Uvirkat Kohanim. Divrei Rabbi Yohanan Ben Nuri. So everything we just read, which we'll go back and explain, are the words of Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Presumably, someone disagrees with him. His opinion is, as we read. So going back to what it said, we'll translate Seder HaBrachot, the order of the Brachot, and since we know this Masechet Rosh Hashanah, we're talking about the Brachot on Rosh Hashanah. What tefillah is it? Is it Musaf? Is it Mincha? Is it Shachrit? Doesn't say. Is it all of them? Is it just one of them? Doesn't say. We'll have to figure it out. So what happens? Omer avot ugvurot ukedushat Hashem. So he says, and presumably it's talking about the shliach tzibur, the chazan, perhaps it's talking about the individuals as well, says three things. Avot ugvurot ukedushat Hashem. Someone's at the door. So we'll wait 15 seconds until you return.
Good. I still cannot find Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, come on. You can find it.
No,
can't be that hard. So Mary Beth has a question sheet there. Yes, she does. She has a Mishnah. Yes, she does. Great. So we're going to read on. So again, Avot Gvurot Kedushat Hashem. To translate those three words might help a little bit, but not a lot.
Which perek are you in?
Dalit.
Ah.
You know, someone who's listening to this is going to crack up laughing. Like, we've had a number of false starts here. Let's begin again. You did that just for the comical effect, right?
Yes.
Omer Avot Gvurot Kedushat Hashem, patriarchs and power and the holiness of God's name. Those are the names of certain brachot in the Amidah. But let's just make sure we're on the same page. So if we open up to the Siddur, right? For some of you this might be really simple and clear and undisputable. For others it might be an important review. So if we open to the Siddur, let's say to page 98. I'm opening up to a weekday Amidah, weekday Shemona Asrei, page 98. And the Art Scroll is very, very helpful because right in the middle of the page, it says there, in a word that's not vocalized, it says Avot. On the English side, it says Patriarchs. The name of the first bracha of the Shemona Asrei every single day of the year, every single tefillah of the day is, of course, Avot. And it talks about the Patriarchs. If we turn to the bottom of the same page, 98, it says Gvurot. Again, in the middle of the line. And the English says God's might. It's about power. The second bracha extols God's power. We also call it Tchiyat HaMetim, the bracha of resurrection. One of the major things mentioned there is God's ability to resurrect the dead. You say, I have a vote, you have Gurot, and we turn the page. And then we turn another page to page 102. Art Scroll is very, very clear for us. At the very top of the page, in the middle, it says, Kedushat Hashem, holiness of God's name. And that's the third bracha of every single Shemona Asrei. So we learn that when our Mishnah, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, now our Mishnah, says that on Rosh Hashanah, in the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, we don't know which tefillah again, is it Musaf, is it Shachrit, is it Mincha, is it all of them? He says we begin with Avot Gvurot Kedushat Hashem. What he's saying is that the Shemona Asrei of Rosh Hashanah begins exactly like the Shmona Asrei of every single day. Pretty simple. Going back to the Mishnah, he says, V'cholel malchiyot imahen. And you include malchiyot imahen. We have to figure out what malchiyot is. We don't recognize it from the tefillah of the whole year. It's something special for Rosh Hashanah. And whatever this prayer or this bracha of malchiyot is, we include it with them. Them referring to the brachot of Avot Gvorot Kedushat Hashem. By the way, I'll just say what he means is it's included in that first unit. Those three are a unit. But to be more specific, what he really means is that Malchiyot is included specifically within the bracha of Kedushat Hashem.
Oh.
As we will see later on. So Malchiyot, what does it mean? It literally comes from the root of
Melech.
Something about God's kingship is included in Rosh Hashanah in the bracha of Kedushat Hashem. Let's go on in the words of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. The next two words are Veino Tokea, and he doesn't blow the shofar. Now that's kind of strange. It doesn't tell you what you do, it says what you don't do. Now of course you wouldn't say what you don't do unless you had expectation that you would do it. So that means there are some layers here of assumptions that we have to tease out. But all things being equal, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri knows that all the listeners would have thought that if you say Malchiyot, you would Tokeya. But you don't. Let's go on in the Mishnah. Kedushat Hayom v'Tokeya. Zichronot v'Tokeya. Shofarot v'Tokeya.
Hopefully, with
shofarot, you'll do tokeya. Okay, so if we're listing here the brachot, we've had three brachot, avot, ugvorot, or kedushat Hashem. Then Malchiyot is not a separate bracha, but it's added into kedushat Hashem without a tikiya. And then it says, kedushat hayom v'tokeya. And what it means is, omer, kedushat hayom v'tokeya. So what is the bracha of kedushat Hashem yom? Literally, it means the bracha of the holiness of the day. Let's look in the, not in the Machzor, but in the Sidur. And let's look in the Sidur in the Shmona Asrei of Shabbat. And we'll look to begin with at Leil Shabbat, the Shabbat evening. I'm going to open up to page 338. And as we can see, on 338, those brachot... But we do have on the table many. We don't.
I can share with you. That's okay. Fine.
Well, there's one right here, right? Isn't that one?
No, it's
here.
Here it is.
Here, 338.
So we see that the art scroll lists for us on page 338 at the top a vote. When you see where it says a vote, the first bracha, and then gvorot. And at the very bottom of the page, Kedushat Hashem. The same three brachot we had in the Shmona Asrei of a regular day that we saw early in the Sidur. We saw that on page 100 and 102, 98, 100. And now we see that the Shmona Asrei of Shabbat also begins with Avot Gevurot to Kedushat Hashem. But we turn the page to page 340 and we see the next bracha is called Kedushat Hayom. And that is the bracha that's inserted into the Shmona Asrei specifically for Shabbat. It talks about Kedushat Hayom. Kedushat Hayom, the holiness of the day. In the case of Shabbat, it's Shabbat. In the case of Pesach, it would be Pesach. In the case of Rosh Hashanah, it's going to be Rosh Hashanah. There's a bracha inserted into the Shmona Asrei of Rosh Hashanah, which takes the place of the bracha inserted on Shabbat about Shabbat. It's going to be the fourth bracha. We don't have such a thing during the Shmona Asrei of the normal days. There we don't have a day, but the Kedushat Hayom, because there is no Kedushat Hayom, it's a normal day. Rather, we have the brachot of vakashot, of the requests for all the different things we request, whether it's knowledge, whether it's health, whether it's parnasa, making a living, whether it's shalom, and take back shalom. Whether
and
it's
we
in
government exile. Shofar? Is that what it's saying?
And the Mishnah says, Vivian says, let's get back to the Mishnah. And she's right. So the Mishnah said, Kedushat Hayom v'tokeya. When we say the bracha of Kedushat Hayom v'tokeya. Just like with Malchiyot, it's part of Kedushat Hashem lo tokeya. We don't do the tikiya, but for Kedushat Hayom we have tikiya. And then, I'm back in the Mishnah, Zichronot v'tokeya. So here we add into the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah a second special bracha. After Malchiot, we have Zichronot, which is about God's remembrance, which means God's knowledge of everything in the world. And the idea of judgment follows from knowledge. It's about God's knowledge and judgment. That's a separate bracha that's added, not super added to anything else, but a separate bracha. Vitokea, with a tikiyah, second tikiyah. And then Shofarot, we add a third bracha, a third special bracha, Vitokea. I'm still in the Mishnah. Vomer avodah v'hoda'ah uvirkat kohanim. So let's understand what is avodah and what is hoda'ah and what is virkat kohanim. So for that we can just stay where we are in the Sidur.
We have it on Shabbat.
We have it on Shabbat. But we should look here at a morning service.
Ah, okay.
So let's go back. We could look at Shabbat. We could look at a regular day. I'm looking at the regular day. I'm looking at page 110. Page 110 in the Shmona Asra of every day, after we had the first three brachot, and then the middle 13. Am I doing my math correctly? 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Yes, the middle 13. After the first three in the middle 13, on 110, we see now the next bracha is Avodah. And that's a prayer for the restoration of the Avodah, the temple service. After Avodah, again, in every single day, is Hodah, the top of 112. That's the bracha of Modim, which is Thanksgiving. Modim anachnu lach. And after we have that, you see at the top of page 116, in the gray box is Birkat Kohanim. And that's only during Shachrit that the Chazan says the priestly blessing every morning. And after that comes Shalom, Birkat HaShalom, the Bracha of Peace. So what you can see is very strange here. The last Bracha is really called Shalom. It's missing from our Mishnah for some reason. The Mishnah should not have said Birkat Kohanim. That's not a bracha. It's an addition. That's not a bracha. There's no Brochat Hashem there. And most probably when the Mishnah said Birkat Kohanim, it meant Birkat Kohanim and Sim Shalom. And Shalom, which comes after it.
Unless that bracha is later.
But it's not.
Ah.
As far as we know, it's not. So this is a little bit of an anomaly, but as far as we understand, when our Mishnah says that the Amidah of Rosh Hashanah ends with Avodah and Hoda'ah and Birkat Kohanim, it means Avodah and Hoda'ah and Birkat Kohanim with the last bracha of Shalom.
But that's why right. Not this Birkat Kohanim and since this is taking place when the Chazan presumably is reciting it, right? So we wouldn't say this as individuals, but
that's true.
The Chazan might.
That's a very good point. The fact that it says Birkat Kohanim is indicative that we're talking here about the Hazarat HaShatz, the repetition of the reader, and not necessarily about what the individual says.
Because we wouldn't have this while we're saying it individually anyway, right?
That's actually a question. Among some, it is done like that. But the basic law is also, like you said, that the tikiyot are only during the Hazarah, the repetition, and not during the silent Amidah.
Okay, I missed what you said. That where is it done? What is the question?
Why does our Mishnah?
No, I understood his comment, but not what you referred to. Something is a question.
Where it says here tokea, right? Tokea. Amiram said that probably indicates we're talking about the Hazarat HaShatz and not about the individual saying the Shemona Asrei. I said it's not so clear. There are minhagim, there are customs in which even during the silent Shemona Asrei of the individual, the Baal tokea, the shofar blows.
How does he know where to place his blows?
The congregation gets to a certain point in their silent prayer and wait until he blows. But that's a different story.
What does Hoda'ah mean?
Hoda'ah means Thanksgiving.
Thanks. Oh, that means Thanksgiving. And Avodah means the reconstruction?
Avodah means literally work. In this, the work, the service of the temple.
Okay.
The service of the temple. So, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. We really can't understand what's unique about it, what's the point, what he's saying, until we begin to think quite a bit. Let's look at the questions that I prepared. Will help us to think.
But still, Amiram is right because the katakonim is done only in Halachas.
Yes, we mentioned that.
Yeah.
The first few questions on my sheet we've discussed already. Just figuring out the different components here. So we're not going to do question one or question. Let's just do them to review. Of the different components of the Amidah that I mentioned, which are found in every single Amidah that a Jew recites. So we said that. So let me be a little bit creative here. How many are they? Without saying what they are, how many are there?
Three in regular, aren't they? And then in Musaf?
Wait a second, but you're wrong. How many are there that are in every single Amidah? Not three.
How many
brachot are in every are common? How many brachot are common to every single Amidah?
It's not 13.
Not 13.
No, it should be 18, but
six.
It's not 18.
Six. The first three, and the last three.
Yeah.
We said that they are Avot, the patriarchs, Vorot, God's power, Kedushat Hashem, the holiest of the name. Those are the first, and then the last three, which are Avodah, temple service, Hoda'ah, Modim, thanksgiving, and what's called here Birkat Kohanim, which is really should be called Shalom. Those six are in every single Amidah.
Then why is it called Shmoneh? It should be 18, not six.
There are six that are always there, but others are added.
Okay.
There's never just six.
Okay.
Second question. In addition to the different components of the Amidah that I referred to in question one, which one additional component mentioned here is found in almost every single Amidah of Shachrit and Musaf? This one is not a separate bracha.
The Kedusha?
No. In addition to the six brachot, it's a trick question because it's not a good question. I'm referring to Birkat Kohanim. Birkat Kohanim is found in every single Musaf and Shachrit, with one exception, by the way. There's one. Paul?
Go ahead.
This is a gold star question.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Whoa, that's a gold star. Say it.
Tisha B'Av.
And Tisha B'Av. We postponed Birkat Kohanim from Shachrit to
Mincha.
Yeah. Yeah. Another question. Three. Is there any component bracha found in every single Amidah that's missing from this Mishnah? We said that already. Which one is not literally mentioned?
Shalom.
Shalom, right? It seems to be included in Birkat Kohanim, but that's intended. Four, is there any way to understand such that the missing bracha is not really missing? We said to assume that when they say Birkat Kohanim, they mean what comes right after it as well, which is Shalom. Fine, let's go to question five. In addition to the components of the Amidah referred to in the earlier questions, what additional component mentioned in the Mishnah is found in every single Shabbat and holiday Amidah?
Kedushat
Hayom, right? The bracha that's added for the pick of the day, right? There is three at the beginning, three at the end. On Shabbat, only one more. On Shabbat, there are only seven. Same thing on a holiday, there's only seven. The middle one is Kedushat Hayom, the bracha that's added for that particular day. On holidays, the Kedushat Hayom is the same for Shachrit, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. On Shabbat, it changes, right? On Shabbat, there's a different Kedushat Hayom in the evening, in the morning, and in Mincha. All of this, we're just trying to set as a background so we can now understand the unique aspects of the Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah. We're now in question six. How is the nature of the I just answered it myself. How's the nature of the component mentioned in the previous question different in general from the nature of the components mentioned in the first two questions? Because this one, at least on Shabbat, changes. Right? This one changes.
Also, isn't that specific to that day?
And it's also specific to that day, right? Not only does it change in Shabbat from time to time, but on a different holiday, it's a different character, absolutely. Now we finally get to Rosh Hashanah in question 7. Which three components mentioned in the Mishnah, unique to Rosh Hashanah. Everyone together. The first one is
Malchiot.
The second is
Zichronot.
And the third is Shofarot. That's what we're concentrating here tonight. According to what we know based on present practice, is the Mishnah referring to Shachrit or Musaf or both? Does anyone know? In other words, in our Tfilot today and Rosh Hashanah, do we add Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot on Rosh Hashanah, on Musaf, or Shachrit, or both?
We don't have Shofarot and Shachrit.
That's correct. We don't have Shofarot or Malchiot or Zichronot in Shachrit, but only in Musaf. At least according to what we do today, if we assume the practice of today was the practice of way back then, if we make that assumption, then our Mishnah we just learned is talking only about the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Only about Musaf, not about Shachrit, and certainly not about Mincha, not about any other Bracha, because today we add Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot on Rosh Hashanah only to Musaf. Question 9. According to what we know based on present practice, do you think that the Mishnah is referring to the silent prayer or the reader's repetition? We also talked about that. It's probably talking about the reader's repetition because of the mention of Birkat Kohanim and because we don't tokea, we don't blow in the silent Shmona. So, although if you've been in any Hasidic shtibel ever, you might have noticed that they do. But
this is the Hasidic custom?
Yeah, but that probably was not the minhag during the time of the Mishnah, as it's not the minhag in most mainstream, I shouldn't say that, most non-Hasidic synagogues today.
It's not a Sephardi practice, then, is it?
No, it's a Kabbalistic practice. It goes back
but
to Kabbalah.
But they blow the shofar at each one of these? Is that
they
what
blow
you're
the shofar during the silent Shmona Esrei three times.
Neat.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't remember that. I've gone to many Chabad services.
I saw
Chabad Norm Chabad does it. Chabad Norm does it.
Does, okay.
Did they do it?
Okay. Thank you, Jeremy. Question 10 we also mentioned already, and I think here I created a word that doesn't exist. What is the objectional preposition? Imahem, I call it objectional preposition. It's an indirect object. I thought that an object is objectional. Perhaps I'm wrong. What is the objectional preposition imahem referring to? And what does the phrase kolel malchiot imahem really mean? Well, you answered that already. This is just review. So imahem refers to what? It's in the plural.
With the other
avot.
What are they?
Avot,
vruot. Right, avot, vruot, and kedushat Hashem. So literally, the Mishnah says that malchiot is included in those three. But that's literally, but it's not what it really means. Where it's put in, it's put into the last of those three, kedushat Hashem. That's what it really means. Question 11. What is the point and what is the need to state a no tokei as far as malchiot? So that's also a review. We said that also. Right? Because you would have thought, I don't know why you would have thought, but you would have thought apparently that tokeia. Now we learned from the Mishnah already that there's a tikiya with zichronot, there's a tikiya with shofarot. So apparently Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri thinks you would have expected a tikiyah also with malchiot. But he says no. With malchiot, there's no tikiyah. Rather, that tikiyah is, where is it, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? It's not in malchiot. It's shofarot I mentioned, zichronot I mentioned. Where is the third one? Kiddushat Hayom. Right, are you with me here? Right. There are three additional brachot in Musaf, and there are three tikiyot, but paradoxically, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, one of the special brachot gets one of the tikiyot, shofarot. Another one of the special brachot gets the tikiyot, and that's zichronot. But the third, malchiyot, the third special bracha, does not get the third tikiyah. Rather, the tikiyah goes to kedushat hayom, whereas malchiyot is left without a tikiyah. Kind of strange. Again, three special brachot, three tikiyot. Why isn't it the one-on-one correspondence? Rather, malchiyot is without a tikiyah, and the tikiyah goes to kedushat hayom. Why? Strange. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri understands that it's strange, and therefore he has to say, concerning malchiyot, eno tokeya.
Yeah, especially, I don't know, to me it's an emotional thing too. When you mention a king, you want a fanfare.
Ah. Yeah, and why isn't there?
I don't understand.
With Malchiot, when you proclaim God's kingship, why don't you blow the shofar? Let's go on in the questions and see how things work out. So my next question, why apparently does one eino tokea? Why not? Why not?
Because it's I don't know, it's changing a bracha rather than, I don't know, they don't stand on their own, they're included within other brachot which are kind of normal from normal days.
Good point. In other words, since Malchiot, you're saying, is included in a normal bracha, therefore there's not a...
It's almost an alteration of normal brachot, whereas the other three are particular to Rosh Hashanah.
Good point. Kedushat HaYom is particular Shana, Zichronot is and Shofarot is, whereas Malchiot is included with Kedushat HaShem, says Jeremy, and Kedushat HaShem is a normal everyday bracha. Perhaps you can't put a tikiyah there. That's possible. That's plausible. One other possibility that is brought up is that for some reason, perhaps, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri feels that the three tikiyot have to be consecutive. And he couldn't have a situation of Malchiot blow, Kedushat HaYom don't blow, Zichronot blow, and Shofarot blow. But that begs the question, why they have to be consecutive? Don't know. Whereas what Jeremy said actually doesn't beg any questions. It makes sense.
Why would you include Malchiot with the first three instead of Kedushat HaYom anyway?
Ah, right. Very good question. And now we're getting somewhere. Wait a second. Why not? Really? Why not? Well, I can turn around and say why yes.
I mean, it's not a big change, I suppose, but...
You know what? Let's go one step further. So we said, why isn't there a tikiyah with Malchiot? Amiram said, wait a second, there's a bigger question. Why is Malchiot put in with Kedushat HaShem? I agree, it's a bigger question, but there's one more bigger question. Why is Malchiot put in with anything? Why isn't it just left as a separate bracha? Why isn't it avot, vorot, Kedushat HaShem, and then Malchiot Zichronot Shofarot, and then Kedushat HaYom, or put Kedushat HaYom before Malchiot Zichronot Shofarot, and then the last three brachot? Why do we have to have this situation of Malchiot being stuck with something else? That's really the major question. That's really the major question. Everything else flows from there.
It's like we are almost hiding it.
Like we're almost hiding it. And although we didn't get to it yet, we're going to see that in Rabbi Akiva, the next opinion, he also agrees that Malchiot isn't a separate bracha. He just says, like Amiram suggested, let's connect it not to Kiddushat HaShem, but to Kiddushat HaYom. Why don't we read that right now? So let's read on in the Mishnah. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva. Everyone have the place? Amar lo Rabbi Akiva. Im eino tokea lemalchiot, lamahu maskir. If he doesn't blow for Malchiot, why are you mentioning it? It's an interesting question. We have to examine its assumptions. We'll get back to that. But let's just read what Rabbi...
You mean, why does Yochanan ben Nuri mention the
yes.
problem?
Why do we say it according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri if you're not blowing with it? As if saying something without blowing the shofar is meaningless. Ela Omer, rather, says Rabbi Akiva, Omer Avot, Ugvorot, Ukedushat Hashem, Vicholel Malchiot, Im Kedushat HaYom. So you say the same first three, as everyone agrees, and then kolel Malchiot in Kedushat HaYom, and you include Malchiot in Kedushat HaYom, not with the third bracha of Kedushat HaShem, but with the fourth one of Kedushat HaYom, the special one for the day of Rosh Hashanah, v'tokeya, zichonot, v'tokeya, shofarot, v'tokeya, v'omer avodah, v'hoda'ah, uvirkat kohenim. So the only argument between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbi Akiva is the following. Which bracha do we connect Malchiyot to? The one before it or the one after it? Do we connect it to Kedushat Hashem or Kedushat Hayom? But Rabbi Akiva agrees, we connect it to something. As Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri agree that there are not nine brachot, there's only eight. There's three at the beginning, three at the end, and three in the middle, and three plus... I'm sorry, I didn't say it right. Let me be more careful. There's three at the beginning, three at the end. And then there's four special ones. Malchiyot, Zichronot, V'Shofarot, and Kedushat Hayom, and three and four equals nine, and not ten. They both
three,
agree.
Three and four what? Is ten.
Three and
sorry.
Yeah.
Three and four, they all agree equals eight and not nine.
No, ten. Three and four is ten.
No.
Rabbi,
Please say that one more time.
Jeremy, can you say it for me?
Three and four is ten.
Right, so they all agree it equals nine and not ten.
No, it equals...
I think what you're leaving out is that you're counting Malchiyot as one of them, and you're not supposed to. You have three at the beginning, three at the end. You have four, but that four is really three because Malchiyot isn't considered separately. Then you have three and three and three.
And the whole purpose is because it's you can't have ten.
For some strange reason, there's not ten, but there's nine. Malchiyot isn't a separate bracha, it's included in something else, and the only machloket is included in what? So we have to ask ourselves, why is this? Why
what is Malchiyot?
Malchiyot is a prayer about God's kingship.
Okay, is it in here? Or are we gonna...
We're about to look at it.
Maybe Malchiyot, I was thinking why it would have to be connected where everything else. Malchiyot, there's maybe an underlying quality about kingship, about Malchiyot, of Malchut, that it's reliant on our participation, it's reliant on our prayers. So whereas everything else stands independent, Malchiyot has to be connected to our prayers, has to be actually connected to something already there in a certain sense. You understand kind of what I'm saying?
I do. Because I'm going to, if Jeremy explained what I meant, I'm going to explain what he meant. Shofarot is about God blowing the shofar and redeeming. Or it's about the shofar being blown for God's redemption. Zichronot is about the shofar being blown to symbolize God's knowledge. But Malchiyot is the shofar being blown to remind us of our cognizance of God. So Jeremy is saying Malchiyot is more about us, whereas Shofarot and Zichronot are more about God. Right?
Yeah.
You're saying? That's true. That's true. And is that a reason why it can't get its own separate bracha? I don't know. So the question is, the fundamental thing is, why is Malchiyot not a separate bracha? And there really is no final answer to that, but I want to show you something in the Chumash that might be the beginning of an answer. So it's... Vayikra, Chaf Gimel. Leviticus 23:23. And the first person to find the verse can read it. And I hope I have the right verse, of course.
1
Right, so it says on this day, this holiday, you have a zichron trua. A zichron trua. So the word zichron, right, a memory of blowing or a memory caused by blowing. So the verse mentions blowing and mentions memory. That's zichronot and shofarot. Are you with me?
Yes.
That's zichronot and shofarot.
But
there's no hint to Malchiyot. And therefore, there are those that say...
It's not
d'oraita. That it's not d'oraita, it's not original. There are those who say, and there's no basis to say this except because of the Mishnah. This is all interpretation, this is all supposition. Right? There's no foundation for what I'm about to say other than the sources we've just seen. There's no mystical insight here. But there are those that say that probably the original Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah was the first three at the beginning, the last two at the end, and in the middle, three, Kiddushat Hayom, and Zichronot, and Shofarot. That's what has a foundation in the Torah, that there's shofar blowing, and there's a matter of Zikaron. Right? You know, in the Machzor, we call this holiday Yom HaZikaron, the day of remembrance, the day also that God remembers and sees and judges.
Also Yom Teruah.
And Yom Teruah, right? Yom HaZikaron and Yom Teruah, the day of blowing, the day of Zikaron. Malchiot, the day of God's kingship. It's an important idea, but it's not in the Chumash. And therefore, there are those who say it might not have been in the original tefillot. It was added later, and when it was added later, it was at a stage in which the rabbis felt they couldn't have another bracha. Therefore, they had to connect Malchiot to something that already exists. So the question was, to what? And then Rabbi Yochanan ben Nun and Rabbi Akiva had a machloket where to connect it.
But I mean, all of these things are far after the Torah. I mean, these are this is so to connect them is a bit of a stretch, you know. Or it seems like it's puts quite a, you know, weight on what's already a associative rather than a connection rather than a prescriptive connection. We're not told to recite these tefillah here. I mean, that was a far later development.
Yeah, the assumption, and everything is an assumption that I'm saying, of course, there's no foundation, there's no clear foundation, that at an early stage in Jewish history, when the rabbis developed the Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, they developed Zichronot and Shofarot on the foundation of the verse, whether you call it the right or just a smachta, hint, but they founded it there. And then 100 years later, or 1,000 years later, when it was decided to add Malchiot, the rabbis didn't feel they had a authority to add another bracha, because it was already set how many brachot there'd be, and so they had to add Malchiot into something that already existed.
Do these necessarily predate or necessarily come after the setting out the full Amidah? Could it be that these predate the Amidah, you know, the formal Amidah that you know, from the time of the I guess presumably the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah?
Well, it has Avot Gvurot to Kedushat Hashem, three at the beginning and three at the end.
Right.
Here seems to assume a standard Amidah. Now,
I wonder if they were things that were said on that day that may have been instituted before there was a formal Amidah. Not necessarily, or not at all. Could something was.
So the celebration of Rosh Hashanah predates the Amidah.
Yeah, so for at least from what I understand, the Amidah was, you know, this was, I guess, what point? This was after the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash?
We don't know.
When was the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah?
Anshei Knesset HaGdolah was with the beginning of the Second Temple, after the destruction of the First Temple.
Okay, so isn't that kind of the
But what exactly they said is not clear.
Okay. What I'm getting at is... Could there have been things that were said, say, as part of the service in the Beit HaMikdash, that came in advance of a formal of the formal tefillah like we have in this
season? Could be. Again, it's all just a lot of speculation. Mm. We don't know.
But the element of God as the King is very strong. It starts the Shacharit.
Mm-hmm. Tell me what you're referring to.
Pardon?
Tell me what you're referring to.
Hamelech Yoshev al Kisei Rav Nisa.
Yeah.
It's the beginning of the whole Shacharit.
That's our Shacharit today.
Ah, how do we know what was then?
Again, we think of Malchiot, of God's kingship, as a central element of Rosh Hashanah, but go back to the Torah, you find Zichron, and you find Shofar, you don't find the idea of God's kingship.
It's a later.
Okay, let's go back to my question sheet. We were...
Can I just...
Yeah, of course.
With regard to that, is... in the Chumash, is there any kind of... I'm trying to think of any examples of that metaphor.
God as king?
Yeah, specifically as king. And
there
are different
sure
names
there
for God.
I'm always bad at examples.
Midah, you know, I specifically mentioned, but God is king.
There's an idea about kings. There certainly are kings.
No, but God is
the
king.
First, in the five books, though, in the Chumash,
God is king.
You know, creator, yes. you know, whatever you want to ascribe to the variations of the names of God.
Amiram's bringing up a very interesting point.
Idea.
Certainly in the prophets we have it. Okay, you know, this is really interesting what you brought up. That's your homework.
Alright.
And it's very easy to look up. You get a concordance, you get a computer program, you look up God is King in English and Google.
Right.
It's pretty simple. And in other classes I'd be giving, someone would do what Jeremy's about to do, right?
Okay.
He's going to give us the answer.
Awesome.
But while he's looking,
the iPad to the rest.
We're going
to I think the idea is
as he's looking, we're going to look at question 13. Question 13, what's the logic of including it in Kiddushat Hashem? Very simple. Now, let's say that we have Malchiyot, God is King. We have to include it in some bracha. So Kiddushat Hashem is a description of God's being. Mm-hmm. God is holy. So to call God King, put in the same bracha, is not too much a stretch. It's a description of what God is.
Right.
As opposed, let's say, to what God does. Like, Gevurot is what God does. He revives the dead. But, okay, so it fits. Let's go on now to Rabbi Akiva. And we read Rabbi Akiva quickly. Let's go and read in the Mishnah again the question he asks Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri.
I think I have the answer to
our which question? Which one?
About God is King. In my French.
Okay.
No, I don't. I think it's in the part that talks about the future kings and the reluctance to have kings because God is your king. I think that's where it is.
In Deuteronomy, in Parshat HaMelech, which is in Parshat Shoftim, I think, I don't remember any mention there as God of God as King. In Sefer Shmuel it comes up, in the book
in
of Shmuel,
yes,
but
know.
Not in Varim.
Not in Varim?
Not in Varim as far as I remember. Okay? So Jeremy's looking. Let's go on in the Mishnah. I'm looking at my watch. Time is getting short. We have a lot to do. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva. Okay? Imeinu tokei lamalchiyot lama hu mazkir. I want to spend a minute or two on that question. If you're not going to blow from malchiyot, why mention it?
Why pronounce the prayer, or why mention it?
Why say the prayer of Malchiyot if you're not blowing the shofar with it? Now that's a strange question. What do you mean? I'm saying it because I'm praying.
Wait, Maskir,
Maskir, he means to lehit palel, to mention it in the tefillah. Why does the Shlich Bor say Malchiyot according to you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, if he's not blowing the shofar at the same time?
So this couldn't be referring to God. Why?
No.
Okay.
It's referring to the Shlich Tzibur, to the Chazan. So I just want to point out what the assumptions are. The assumption seems to be that Malchiyot, and apparently Zichronot and Shofarot also, these prayers about God's kingship, God's knowledge, and God's redemption through the shofar, apparently they're not to be understood as independent prayers. They're intended to be understood as interpretations of the meaning of the shofar. And just like an interpretation only stands in connection to the verse or to the idea it's interpreting, so the words of Malchiyot have no meaning except as an explanation of the shofar blast, says Rabbi Akiva.
So then he's saying, why are you even bringing it up if you're not going to blow the shofar? Because that's what we're talking about.
And on this basis, Rabbi Soloveitchik has a whole essay in which he explains that the foundational tefillah of Rosh Hashanah is the shofar blast. That's the tefillah. The words are just an explanation of what I meant when I blow the shofar.
Wow.
But the tefillah is the shofar blast. The words are an adjunct. And he has a lot to say about that. By the way, if you remember in Rosh Hashanah, there are three separate instances of blowing the shofar. There's right after the reading of the Torah. And then secondly, there's during Musaf, as we're learning right now. And then there's many blasts at the end. Now, according to the Torah, you only have to hear the shofar blown once, according to rabbinic interpretation, nine times. We do that immediately after the reading of the Torah. But according to many interpretations, you haven't fulfilled your obligation until you blow the shofar in the framework of Musaf. Because the shofar blast is part and parcel of tefillah. It is a tefillah. When you blow it separately, you're not fulfilling your obligation. Only when you blow it with your explanation, with your tefillah, does it become what it's supposed to be, which is an act of tefillah. And only then do you fill the biblical obligation according to many poskim.
Wow.
Anyway.
Did you find it?
Nothing in the first five books. No.
Okay, so that's very interesting. That's a very good point.
It might be a later fact.
Okay, so let's go through some of the questions I asked. In B1, list the points concerning which Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Okay, fine, we said they agree on everything. Except for where do you connect Malchiot? That's the only Machloket, and that's question number 2. Question 3, what historical assumption could be postulated to try to explain the genesis of the screen? We said perhaps Malchiot is later. And now that we've learned that apparently the idea of God's kingship is not mentioned in the Torah, this is very interesting. Perhaps it's another foundation to say that the whole idea of Malchiot really came later. Perhaps. So you know what? I'm looking at my watch and I'm going to skip a little bit and I'm going to go right to question 9. Which brings us to the Machzor. Which of the two approaches in our Mishnah does the Halakha ultimately follow? So we have to open the Machzor, unless someone knows without opening the Machzor. So no one has said anything.
We already see it in the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and following in the Siddurim here it says, the way here says, is that Malchiot?
No. Not at all.
Okay, it's not.
Can someone pass me a Machzor? The one I have took here is Yom Kippur, unfortunately. We should have Rosh Hashanah.
I also have the Yom Kippur.
But there's more there. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So now we're good to go. This one's also Yom Kippur. Okay.
No.
But everyone else now has Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. So pass it over here to Benny.
Oh, there you
go. So the question is, when do we actually?
Where do we put our Malchiot? So if we open up to Musaf of Rosh Hashanah.
I guess when do we blow the shofar? Right.
No. Where do we put our Malchiot?
Oh, we don't put it.
Right, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, we put them with Kiddushat Hashem. Rabbi Akiva says we put them with Kiddushat Hayom.
I assume it will be Akiva.
Okay, that's a good assumption. So let's look in the Hazarat HaShatz, the reader's repetition. And it's kind of hard for me to work in the art school here because I'm not used to it. Mm-hmm. But I'll eventually find my place, I hope. Okay, the Hazarat HaShatz begins on page 470. And you see on page 470, at the top it says Avot, of course. Right, the first bracha. And then I'm turning the pages to find where it says... You know what, I'm going to make it easier for us. Let's not look in Hazarat HaShatz, because there are so many piyutim interpolated there, so many poems. Let's look in what the individual says. It'll be easier for us to find our way there.
What are we looking for?
Sam? We're looking for the silent prayer, the Shmonasre of Musaf. This is really hard to find.
So I have page 500 for the repetition, and Benny has 454.
For
the individuals.
Four, say it again?
454.
I guess
454, very good.
Individual.
Right, very good, that's it. Page 448. Let's go 448. 448, the Musaf for both days of Rosh Hashanah when the individual says it. Page 448. So it begins, of course, with Avot. And the middle of the page, you see, it says Gvurot. And the bottom of the page, it says Kiddushat Hashem. Okay? And then we're turning until we get to Kiddushat Hayom on page 450. Mm-hmm. Bottom of 450, Sanctification of the Day, Kiddushat Hayom. And there, if you turn the page again and again to page 454, you find Malchiyot. So in other words, Malchiyot is not right with Kiddushat Hashem and before Kiddushat Hayom. No, it's after Kiddushat Hayom. It's actually part of Kiddushat Hayom, because Kiddushat Hayom did not end with a bracha, a formula, Bruchat Hashem, that comes only after Malchiyot. As we're saying, Kiddushat Hayom, together with Malchiyot, we're ending that with a bracha, and that bracha is found on the top of 458. The top of 458 is the end of the combination of Kiddushat Hayom and Kiddushat Hashem. In the top of 458, the paragraph ends, Baruch Ata Hashem, Melech Al Kol Haaretz, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. And I want to parse that bracha for you. I'm going to read it again. Everyone have the bracha? Do you have it? When it says top of 458 in the 6th or 7th line, Baruch Ata Hashem, Melech Al Kol Haaretz, those words, Melech Al Kol Haaretz, they're there for Malchiyot. Whereas the words, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron, that's the standard formula for Kiddushat Hayom. So this bracha is a combination of Kiddushat Hayom and Malchiyot, and the wording of the bracha indicates both the Kiddushat of the Yom. The Yom is called Yom HaZikaron, that's the name of the holiday. And the words Melech Al Kol Haaretz, King over all the earth, are there for Malchiyot. So we hold like Rabbi Akiva, the final halakha, don't close it yet. We say Avot, Gvurot, Kiddushat Hashem. And then we have Malchiyot with Kiddushat Hayom. And if it's the reader's repetition, Tokea. And then we have Zichronot, and if it's the reader's repetition, Tokea. And if it's, and then we have Shofarot, and if it's used repetition, Tokeh. And then the last three brachot of Avodah and Hoda'ah and Birkat Kohanim Sim Shalom.
So there's no
Tokeh
with
Malchiyot? There is. Again, Malchiyot is together with Kiddushat Hashem v'Tokeh.
Okay.
So Zichonot v'Tokeh. Shofarot v'Tokeh.
So
three
really
Tikiyot.
The Tokeh comes at the end of Malchiyot.
Comes at the end of Malchiyot, correct. Malchiyot v'Tokeh.
Yeah.
So we end up getting one. Really?
Yes, that's what Rabbi Kiva holds, but only when it's together with Kiddushat Hashem. It's not on its own. Yes. Right, Rabbi Kiva, the point was right. If you say Malchiyot without blowing, why do you say it? Yes, you're right. You have to make meaning of it, you have to have it as an interpretation of the blowing. What I want to do, I want to do two more things if we have time. Looks like we have time for only one. So we'll do one more thing, which is the following. We hold like Rabbi Akiva, but we might also hold like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri at the same time. Let's look at the machzor, exactly where we are.
Yeah, we have it in Lochata Adonai Levadecha al kol ma'asecha, and that we say just before Kiddushat Hayom.
Tell me where it is that you're looking.
Page 450.
Right, exactly. I'm looking at that, but a little bit before that. Look at 448, the beginning of the Musaf. Right, so again, 448. And on that page, you have Avot and Gvurot and Kiddushat Hashem, the opening three standard brachot. But look at the very last line of 448. Ata kadosh, v'shimcha kadosh, u'kadoshim b'chol yom yehaluch ha'sela. The next word should be Baruch Ata Hashem,
right.
Ha'kel ha'kadosh. That's what they should be. But instead, we turn the page.
We have a thousand of chen.
And we have three additional paragraphs, actually four. Look at them in English.
Yeah.
And so to Hashem our God, instill your awe upon all your works and your dread upon all your creatures, that all works reveal you, all creatures prostrate themselves. It's beautiful, beautiful Hebrew. And the second paragraph, so to Hashem, grant honor to your people, praise to those who revere you, good hope to those who seek you. Beautiful. Next paragraph. And so to the righteous will see and be glad, the upright will exalt, the devout will be mirthful, glad song. And the last paragraph of these four, v'timlok, then you Hashem will reign alone over all your works on Mount Zion, resting place of your glory, etc., etc., etc. Until we get to the next paragraph, kadosh, atav, v'norah shemecha, you are holy, your name is holy, there is no God other than you. As is written, Hashem, Master of Legion, be lofty in judgment, the holy God will be sanctified in righteousness. Baruch atah Hashem, Hamelech HaKadosh. That's the end of Kiddushat Hashem. Kiddushat Hashem has something added to it. Now, listen, what's added to it, these paragraphs, we find them in all the tefillot of Rosh Hashanah. Not just Musaf, not just Sacharit, also Mincha, also Aravit. We also find them on Yom Kippur. But the question is, where did this come from? Where and what is the source of this beautiful piyut, this beautiful liturgical poem that's added to Kiddushat Hashem during all the tefillot of Rosh Hashanah? And the prevailing theory is that this is Malchiyot of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. In other words, not only did he have an opposing opinion to Rabbi Akiva of where Malchiyot goes, but he also had a different opinion of what Malchiyot is, what its content is. In other words, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri had two different traditions. They had something called Malchiyot, something called a prayer about God's kingship, but they had two different versions of it. They represented perhaps two different parts of Eretz Yisrael, according to many researchers. Rabbi Akiva said you put Malchiyot with Kiddushat Hashem. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said you put the Malchiyot with Kiddushat... I said the opposite, sorry. Rabbi Akiva says you put it with Kiddushat Hayom. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says you put it with Kiddushat Hashem. The halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, but apparently we have not abandoned the halacha of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And his Malchiyot remain where he had them. And not only that, his Malchiyot are so powerful and so beautiful, they've been expanded from Musaf to Shachrit to Mincha and to Aravit, and they've even been expanded to Yom Kippur. Now, we don't blow the shofar.
So we also follow his opinion on that then. So we've included his, and we follow his point of view.
They know Tokea. Right. Okay. Okay. Very good. So if you ever hear anyone talking about the remnant of the Malchiyot of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that's what we're talking about.
Very pretty.
It's beautiful. Yeah, it really is. That's the story.
So not only did they have a disagreement about where to put this Malchiyot, but they also had a different opinion about what the Malchiyot was to say.
That's the theory. Again, this isn't proven. This is what some of the historical researchers say, because the question is, where did this Uvechein came from? And its content is about God's kingship. And it could be. Now, I'll just say one more thing, which is fascinating. If you read closely this beautiful utopian vision of what we call the Malchiyot Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, it's pretty fitting to some of the unique works of the Dead Sea Scroll sect.
Yeah,
if you look at the Dead Sea Scrolls, I did some reading and research, the theology here seems to go back to at least the group that wrote the Dead Sea Scroll sects. We call them the Yachad, Kata Yachad, the group of the Yachad.
What does Yachad mean?
Means together. They live together like a kibbutz. And it could be that they are the authors of this prayer, which means we're going back before, way before the destruction of the Second Temple, going back probably to the first century of the last century before the destruction of the temple.
Or that they have a common ancestor.
And others say perhaps they just have a common ancestor, which means we're going back even further. Right. Yeah. Yeah. This is not medieval Hebrew. This is really ancient Hebrew, and it's quite powerful.
What is Olata?
Where do you see it?
You're in the third paragraph?
Yeah.
From language of Avla. Wickedness,
should
Avla.
Then it should be Avlata, not Olata, no?
If I'm not mistaken, I've seen it vocalized as you've just said, but as you know, I'm not a grammarian, so I will not say anything I don't know about. But it comes from the word Avla, evil. Anyone else want to add or subtract?
Yeah, I want to understand what is Ofrein ten kavod Adonai la'amecha. Does it mean that God needs to respect us, or does it mean
that we want
honor?
We want the rest of the world to honor. We've held God's message high for so many years, and now at the end of time, when all come back to God, we should get the proper credit that we deserve. So next week, we're going to talk again at 8:15 about the high holidays. We'll talk about Yom Kippur, and then the last class before the holidays will be on Sukkot. And that last class is Tuesday, September 10th, probably, or 9th, whatever it works out. And I just want to mention
September 9th is a Sunday.
Then it's September 11th.